Program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
Hey, what's up, listeners? I'm your host, Jay Mack, here for another edition of Keeping It Real. Down here in Tampa, Florida, you know, need to be in Auburn, Alabama right now. I know you listeners, you big Auburn fans, fans across the nation. Those Auburn Tigers look for real. They're ready, you know. Big win this weekend. Moved up to number 4 in the BCS standings, and I'm just excited, you know. So it's great to be an Auburn Tiger today, you know, and all I can say is War Eagle. I got my special guest on the line, Q, from Tampa, Florida. What's going on, Q?
Hey, what's going on, Mac? War Eagle.
Oh, yeah. War Eagle. You know about that War Eagle. Me and your big homie KK from down here.
Yeah,
down here. Well, you know, I know you repping Auburn a little bit nowadays. I mean, shoot, I'm sure probably growing up. I don't know if you knew too much about Auburn, being down here in Florida. Did you even know anything about Auburn growing up?
Yeah, actually, man, a lot of people don't know this, but I was born in Alabama, man, Lynette, Alabama. It's probably about 20, 25 minutes from Auburn. So, yeah. You know, growing up, me and my brother was always dreaming about either playing for Alabama or Auburn. And, pretty much Auburn won, you know what I mean, throughout the years, but, yeah, I know a lot about Auburn, man. I've been living the dream for a long time. So.
Oh, definitely. I know you had some opportunities to come up there and check them Auburn Tigers out. You know, you're a ball player yourself or whatnot. So I know you know how it is when it comes to football in the state of Alabama. And
And it's in the
big two teams, Auburn and Alabama. You know, both ranked in the top 10 now. Bama has a loss. Auburn's undefeated. And that brings up the point of this BCS. Now, you being a ball player and knowing about the game of college football, I kind of want you to chime in on what you think about the BCS for the most part.
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty good system. Although I played in the NAIA, mm-hmm. You know, we live off the playoff system. So, a lot of people think the playoff system is a little better because you actually get to see, you know, the best team. They get to play more than one game. You know, you get to see them play different teams. But the BCS is pretty much, you know, for some teams, you know, you think about Boise State who goes undefeated, you know, a season or two and still might not be able to get in a championship game. But then again, you have a team like Alabama who can lose one game in the SEC and – you know, go to the SEC championship and still end up, you know, in the championship game or Auburn. You know what I mean? So I remember back when y'all were playing and y'all went 13-0 and didn't get put in the championship game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a controversy in it, you know what I mean? But I think it's a pretty good system, you know. And it's all right. You know, I think a couple of things could be changed about it. But for the most part, I think it works out, you know, for the powerhouse teams, and it gives other teams opportunities too to also play in some big bowl games. So I think it's a pretty nice system, though.
Yeah, and that brings to the point. The game of college football, and I would probably have to say this. I mean, even with the March Madness, the NFL, and the playoffs, and the Super Bowl, and all that good stuff, and all the sports that throughout World Series, all that, the season of the college football season is probably, I want to say, the most exciting, because week in and week out, it's Monday or Tuesday, and we're talking about the BCS every week. We're talking about who's ranked here, who's ranked there. So it brings some excitement to the world of college football, no doubt. My only thing is, when you have a team like Boise or a team like TCU that's playing like a San Jose State this week that Boise State played, and then Auburn's playing the 12th-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, it's a tremendous difference when you're saying Boise playing San Jose and Auburn playing Arkansas, and then fast forward and coming this week, we got a big showdown with LSU. I mean, when you look at it like that, I don't think it's necessarily fair to have a team like Boise. Not saying they shouldn't be ranked high because they are a good football team, but it's just hard to kind of say they're one of the best teams in the country when they're playing teams like San Jose week in and week out, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And about that, I mean, of course, you know, from how the season started, and Boise State, you know, beat Virginia Tech, and everybody was saying, okay, you know, oh man, it's Boise State, such a great team, which they might be a great team, but then the next week Virginia Tech lose to James Madison or whatever. It shows you right there that maybe, you know, Virginia Tech is just not a good team. You know, it doesn't say that Boise State is a bad team or a great team, but it's just saying the strength of schedule isn't that powerful. San Jose State, not to take anything away from San Jose State, but they're not, they're not the SEC. You know what I mean? They're not a team coming out of there. So, it would kind of be easier for a team like Boise State to go undefeated when really they probably only play maybe one or two ranked teams the whole year.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like one of a D1 school playing a D1 AA school four times, five times a year. Of course you're going to be over 500. You're supposed to be, you know? So,
yeah.
I won't say it's not fair. I mean, they're undefeated and for them to be ranked high is a good thing. But as you can see, as the weeks pass, you know, Alabama lost and Ohio State just lost, and still they put Oklahoma before Boise State, you know, because of the simple fact of they're not really playing anybody strong. So
I agree with that. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Boise because they have some talented athletes. They get a lot of players out of California. You know, they recruit well in California, and they get a lot of those players that didn't want to go to SC or go to Oregon or go to UCLA or go to, you know, a big college on the West Coast. So they're getting a lot of players out there, and they got a lot of talent. It's just hard, like you said, when you play somebody like a Division I AA school every week. I mean, I just can't go for that. And to the next kind of not topic, but I kind of wanted to switch it up a little bit going into the NFL. I saw the NFL today or yesterday. Obviously, they fined for these big hits. Now they're talking about suspending players for these helmet-to-helmet collisions. Now, I mean, growing up, you know, we played ball or whatnot, and they teach you the proper way to tackle. But at times, it comes to a situation where a collision just happens, you know? Just happens. So it's kind of difficult to avoid a collision but be physical at the same time. And they're going to start taking money out of these men's pocket for making these hits. Like, I don't know if you saw the hit. Deshaun Jackson got hit by Dante Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, Deshaun was coming across the middle, and he's a 4-2, 4-3 guy coming across the middle. And Dante was trying to make a play on the ball, tried to, you know, prevent from catching the football, and it was a nasty collision. Both players had a concussion. Both players were laid out on the field. And I said that is the game of football. So on an instance like that, even if he may have hit him in the head a little bit, I just can't say you fine somebody for being physical playing football. I kind of want you to chime in and give me, you know, your assessment of what you think about something like that, because – It's difficult at times, I mean, to play the game and think, okay, I can't hit him in the head. I need to hit him here. By then, you might hurt yourself. You understand? You know what I mean? So I want you to chime in on that, man.
Well, you know, coming from a defensive player, you know, I played offense, you know, when I was younger. But being a safety myself and a linebacker, being taught for 20 years to do whatever you have to do to separate the receiver or running back from the ball, you know, when you've been taught that, it's like This is the only thing that's in your mind, you know. And it's hard, and I'm pretty sure it's hard for these guys to actually try to change up something that they've been taught since they were younger. Uh-huh. You know, and I don't like the fact that they're trying to find players because of head-to-head contact or trying to suspend them. Because, I mean, these guys are running, you know, you full speed, and okay, so let's say a receiver catches the ball and he puts his head down. You know, as far as a defensive back, I'm taught to break down, and I'm taught to put my face mask in basically in his face mask and wrap up. You know, or normally I'm aiming for his chest and up. You know, so okay, so why not find the receiver for putting his helmet down to try to run me over? You know what I mean? So I think it kind of handicaps the defensive players because they are taught to hit a certain way. And now you're saying you're going to fine me or you're going to suspend me if I don't. But in the heat of the moment in a play, you know, you can't control certain things. The Deshaun Jackson hit, I mean, personally, I think that was a clean hit. You know, that's the game of football. You know, they've been doing that for years. And I guess now since they've been having so many, you know, concussion cases and things like that now, and they're trying to be, you know, strict about it, which is okay. But I think, you know, it should be some type of definition of what is a devastating hit and what is allowed and what's not allowed, because some things that you just can't control, you know, and a lot of the coaches and these guys that make these rules, these are people who've never played football probably.
Yeah.
You know, they probably just watched it and now they're saying, oh, well, that was a helmet to helmet, you know. You know, they don't really know when you're playing a game and you're a receiver, and you know when you used to come across the middle and catch a pass, you were looking for a safety to try to take you up.
Yeah.
So
if you get
the ball in your hand and enough time to actually make a football move, you're probably going to put your head down and try to run me over, you know, if I was a safety.
So it's
like you were taught that, you know what I mean? So I think it's kind of like handicapping the defensive player, and it's not making the NFL exciting because a lot of these players are holding back now and not trying to get fined and not trying to get suspended because, you know, they don't know what's a good hit and what's a bad hit now.
Exactly. So, and I was saying, like, if it's unintentionally, if the ball is completely out of play or if you just come across the middle and the guy's not even doesn't even have the ball and he doesn't have to hit him, then I can kind of see – I can kind of understand maybe a helmet to helmet when it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But if it's a ball carrier or the ball is in play and you're trying to make the play, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Now, yeah, it's a difference. Now, if you're going to come with a forearm across the forehead or yank somebody's face mask off or something like that, that's a different story. Yeah, then maybe you need to get fined. But if you, like that hit on Deshaun Jackson, I mean, that's hard.
Yeah,
we're gonna head to break. We're gonna head to break here in a minute. Me and Q will be back on Keeping It Real.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, back. Keeping It Real. Got a call in from a cuz, Big Ron Mack. What's going on, Ron Mack?
Not much, cuz. Not much. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. I felt like I played a game Saturday, up and running around and screaming, watching them Auburn Tigers in that and that defense, and I was just going crazy. I felt like I played a game. I actually felt like I played a game after I watched that game. I kind of want you just to chime in on your thoughts of the game. I know you're up there in the Gump in Montgomery, Alabama, and you watched that game. You watched that shootout between, you know, defenses that are struggling right now, and I just kind of want your assessment. I want you to tell me what you thought about the Auburn versus Arkansas.
That's pretty easy to do. Cam Newton is the man, the best player in college football right now. He is the perfect quarterback in the perfect system for his style. I am impressed with the wide receivers at Auburn. The line played well. Special teams for the first time in about since the kid Davis I think it was last night, Davis, he was from Atlanta. Anyway, he wore 9. For the first time since he'd been there, we almost got a touchdown on the kick return, got a block punt. So the special teams part of it, you know, was decent. Now, our kickoffs and punts is awful, and it's gonna cost us a game. The punting aspect of the football game is gonna cost Auburn a game this season. The defense was atrocious. The secondary was real bad. I hate to see the kid Savage get injured, but you know, 15. I'm probably 5'9". 5'8", 250 pounds right now. He probably couldn't cover me, man.
hold on, man. You killing my boy Thornton. You saying he can't cover at all, huh?
Man, look. As a freshman, I thought he was good. You know, then last year he kind of slipped. You know, and this year, man, they just picking on him, man. Now I gotta admit, you know, Jeffries for South Carolina is a baller. The kid Childs, man, he caught everything that came in the vicinity. I'm talking about with his hands. He was just plucking balls out the air.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as a Division I cornerback starting at an SEC school, man, come on. It got to be somebody at Auburn that can cover, man. It got to be.
Yeah, it got to be, man.
I mean just, yeah. You know, man to man, we blitz. Get them jokers 2 seconds. He even dropped a pick at the end of the game. I'm talking about our linebackers. We in the secondary at Auburn, I don't think in a SEC game that a defensive back has caught an interception. Mm. And we are in game – it'll be game 8 next week, man.
But do you give the defense credit – for coming up with that big fumble recovery and Josh Bynum's coming up with those 2 big interceptions? I mean, you give him credit for that, because we did come out victorious.
And
number 4 in the initial BCS ranking. So our defense does need a lot of help. But do you give them credit for coming up with those plays when they needed to?
I didn't think that was a fumble.
And me being an Auburn man, you are absolutely right. And the one Fannin had,
that was a fumble.
There was a fumble. So
okay,
magic, but with all that out of the way,
I'm not a ref, so you know I'm an Auburn fan. I'm glad that the calls went Auburn's way.
Absolutely.
But
hey Mac,
what's up?
You can't
Mac and run. I don't mean to interrupt right now, but
yeah.
I'm going to just say this, as far as that game, anytime your second string quarterback comes in the game, the defense should be licking their chops at like, okay, coach, we need the blitz right now. This guy hasn't been taking many snaps. He doesn't have that much experience. It's no way that he should come into the game and throw 3 or 4 touchdown passes.
Yeah,
it's no way. So I can understand why Ron say number 15 and not taking anything away from him. But he is a starting D1 cornerback, but he hasn't looked like that maybe this whole year, though.
At all.
And
you're right.
And like you said, Jeffries is a good receiver. He is a good receiver, but at some point in time, you gotta tackle him. I'll take 15 yards over a touchdown. You gotta do something, though. Like, that was ridiculous. He made a second string quarterback look like he's supposed to be starting. And there was no way that was supposed to happen. No way that game should have been that close. At all. Towards the end, yeah, you know, the interceptions, once the game was about to be over. But you got to expect that from a second string quarterback because, okay, he threw a couple touchdowns early and then he got his confidence up. But then, which always happens, same thing happened in the game that South Carolina was playing, I think, Alabama. And their backup quarterback came in and threw 2 touchdowns and then he threw a game-ending interception. It's like they get ahead of themselves and then, okay, just by default that he's a backup quarterback, he throws an interception.
And you make a great point. But I think that being a backup quarterback and you haven't had the game experience, I think like the quarterback for Arkansas, he got comfortable. He was on fire. He was on fire. He got a little too comfortable. And when it came down to it, he threw those interceptions. And I was telling myself, there is no way this backup is just going to come in and not make a mistake.
Exactly.
I mean, because he hasn't played in a full game, so a mistake was coming, and it came at the right time when we needed it at the end of the game. That's how I look at it. Now, the whole pass defense as a whole, I'm just looking at it like we got players that have been there, like Ron Mack said, 15 has been there, number 14 has been there, Etheridge has been there, Savage has been there. They've been there for 4 or 5 years, all of them. 3, 4, 5 years, all of them. They've seen a lot of football. So I don't know really what it is, and that's for the defense as a whole. I don't really know what it is, but I'm just looking like you guys have played a lot of football. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know what it is, but you guys have played a lot of football. You should be able to hold a team to even 4 touchdowns. I mean, with Cam Newton, we can give them 3. Maybe 3 touchdowns, 3 or 4 touchdowns, and come out victorious. But to give up 40-something points, I mean, with that veteran-landed defense, I just don't see – I really don't see what's going on, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right about that. I mean,
lack of SEC talent. 46, man, has been beaten so bad. He's a linebacker. He has been beaten so bad the last 2 games, man, and they still playing. I mean, they got freshmen. I'd rather if I'm gonna have mistakes from players, okay. I'm a high school coach, and if I'm gonna have mistakes from players, I'm not gonna have a mistake from a senior man. I'm not gonna do it. I'll play a sophomore. I'll play a freshman, and I'll live with them same mistakes because next year they'll have that game time experience. 46, man, he missing open field tackles. He getting burned on the wheel route every week. They did it last week, then they came back. Arkansas took him up the sideline, running back, hit the flat, turned it up. Man, he beat him by 10 yards.
Yeah, a running back.
I guess because I'm so Auburn, and I know we all are, and I look at it, and I'm like, it's so frustrating, but – at times, I know Petrino. I played for Coach Petrino, so I know the type of coach he is, and he's an outstanding coach as well. I mean, besides Malzahn, I don't know if there's another in the SEC, another offensive mind they may be neck and neck. So I kind of wanted to think that too, just the way he was setting up plays. Even though we weren't making plays, I just look at it like, okay, they have a very talented, you know, core receivers, some good running backs, and a coach with a great offensive mind. On top of our very average to below average defense, is going to be 40 points. You know, so that's why, you know, I give give us some hope heading into LSU with their offense kind of sputtering, and Alabama with their offense looking pretty average right now, and Ole Miss and Georgia. So the games that are left, we're not going to face, hopefully, a potent as offense as we did with Arkansas, but the defense just has to get better. Bottom line.
Every offense that Auburn has played has looked potent, man. If it walk like a duck and it quack like a duck, then it's a duck, man. Look, Kentucky played well this weekend against South Carolina, okay? And they played well against Auburn. Everybody is playing well. Every quarterback looked like, you know, he having a career day against Auburn. It's not a coincidence, man. It is not a coincidence.
But
even
if
Arkansas State, the kid from, when we played Arkansas State first game of the season, man, that kid was on fire. He was on fire. So that's Arkansas State, man.
But this is how I look at the situation here. I seen glimpses coming out, you know, how we stuffed Lattimore. We was flying around. We make adjustments. We just got to play four quarters. I see it in the defense because I'm looking at it like we got players that have been there so long. I'm like, eventually you have to step up and make some plays. That's what I want to believe. And like you said, if it walk like a duck, it talk like a duck, it quack like a duck, it is a duck. So I want to believe that with senior leaders like Etheridge and Bynes and Fairley in the middle and Blanc and all them boys, I want to believe that they have to play a good game sooner or later before it, you know, kicks us in the butt. But we just going to have to see. We just got to see, you know?
Yeah.
You're right.
So, Ron Mack, I kind of wanted to ask you, you know, kind of seeing LSU play, seeing them get lucky against Florida and come out victorious. What you kind of predict this week with LSU going down to Auburn and playing the Auburn Tigers?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to be, you know, I didn't go to Auburn, but I'm biased to Auburn. If I had to guess a score right now, I'm going to say 34-21. And the only reason I'm going to give that many points is for the simple fact that, like you said, our defense hasn't played that top-notch level yet. And LSU does have – they do have a lot of, you know, five-star players on their team. The offense isn't that potent, definitely. They've been escaping by some teams. The Tennessee game. I think LSU won that game simply for the fact that they were at home. and the controversy at the end of that game. And I just watched, the first quarter of them playing Manish State. Manish State was up 10-0, I think, and then LSU got it going. But I don't see LSU beating Auburn from a coaching point of view. If it is, they're going to beat Auburn from special teams.
We're going to head to break. We're going to finish up on this topic when we get back on Keeping It Real.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics,
the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, before we went to break, we were talking about the big SEC West showdown, you know, two top five, top ten teams in the country, LSU and the Auburn Tigers. And Q gave me a prediction, and you said, what, 31-24 before we went to break?
34-21 Auburn.
34-21 Auburn. Okay, I got Ron Mack on the line. Ron Mack, I want to know, you know, your prediction on this big SEC West showdown this weekend.
Well, you know, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the house. So I'm going to get a front row seat. And I really feel like that Auburn's defense is going to make LSU's offense look real good. Now, I think the defensive line is going to do a good job stopping the run. But I kind of really never want to stop anybody's run, because if they pass the ball, we in trouble. And they got, you know, three good Tolliver. They got Russell Shepard. They got good wide receivers. So my prediction for this game is going to be Auburn 38, LSU 31.
Ooh. Okay. So we all kind of close, because last night I did a radio show on Auburn Eagle or whatnot, and I picked the Auburn Tigers to defeat LSU Tigers 35-21. And the reason being 35 for us is because Cam Newton. If we didn't have Cam Newton, I'd be on this show every Tuesday mad. If we didn't have Cam Newton.
Right.
You know, so with Cam Newton, he's going to wheel us to three or four touchdowns. Not saying that we don't have a great offensive line, good receivers, good running backs, but we just have a once-in-a-generation kind of player at quarterback for us. So he's going to wheel us. It's just going to come up, like you said, Ron Mack, and Q to those DBs making plays on the ball, because I'm not really worried about our front seven, because they're a traditional football team that runs the ball. They don't really have any scat backs, have some big bruises that can run the ball. And we good at stopping that run. But when we stop that run, then, you know, here comes bombs over Baghdad. Here we go, you know. So DB is going to have to come ready to play. And defense as a whole, for the most part. And I just think, like I said, we do for a game. And it's tough to say we do for a game. We're going to have a pretty good defensive game. And I'm predicting 21 points. I mean, old school Auburn, if you say a good defensive game, that's probably two touchdowns at the most, you know, maybe one. You know, we're looking at games like that were like, you know, 14-7 or 21-10 or something like that. But nowadays, and the way it's looking this year, a good defensive game would be 21 points. So I'm saying 35-21, and hopefully we are correct with our scores, because that'll mean Auburn to be 8-0 and moving on up in this beast. Yeah.
One more thing. We cannot punt the ball to seven. I meant to say that when I was
okay.
We cannot punt the ball to seven. If seven has three punt returns, we will lose, because he will score twice.
Okay, now listen to this, though, Ron, man. Okay, and I definitely agree with you. But I like you said, our special teams have been playing. And in big games like this, you know, turnovers do occur. And I did see Patrick Peterson drop a punt against Florida. And that was cost him, and they got Florida back into the game. So I know he is Superman. And he makes plays, and he's going to be a top 10 pick, but he's a defensive back. And yes, they catch balls all the time, but he's a defensive back. And we know DBs aren't known for their hands. But like you said, he done took two or three to the house. And that same thing we were saying last year with Javier. If you going to cover and you think you can cover the punts, kick it to him, cover the punt, make him, you know, force a turnover. But if you don't really know, and that's how we are right now. We got a new punter. I don't know. Kick that thing out of bounds and live for the next play.
Yeah, that's the smart thing to do.
So you know, we're gonna see about that. And I kind of off the, you know, the whole off the topic. I kind of wanted to slide off where I'm at earlier. Me and Q was talking about this BCS, and obviously, we know Boise and TCU are up high in the rankings. I just kind of wanted your opinion on the whole BCS and how it works out. And do you agree with the Boise's and the TCU's kind of sliding up near the top? Q gave his chimed in on his opinion on what he thought. I kind of wanted to hear what you thought because everybody has a different opinion.
Well, I think there's a glass ceiling for those type of teams. Now, Boise looked good against Virginia Tech, but, you know, Virginia Tech is not who we thought they were. You know, mm-hmm. Boise beat Oregon State. You know, Oregon State just lost to Washington. Oregon State has, you know, they like a 500 team. So, mm-hmm. Now, Boise has been a good program for over the last, you know, 5-6 years. But what Boise is going to have to do in order to make it to the big show, they gotta go on the road to, you know, SEC school and a Pac-10 school and maybe a big, you know, Big 10, Big 12, you know, middle of the road, top tier school and play three of their out of conference games like that every year. They can't, you know, load their out of conference up with cupcakes because the conference is cupcakes. And I feel like, you know, if they were in the SEC, if you put them in Auburn's place on the schedule, then they would probably have two losses already. You know, they may have lost to South Carolina, who beat Alabama. They may have lost to Arkansas, who played Alabama close and who only has two losses. So the TCU, the same thing with them. You know, you're going to have to go and play the big time when you're in your four non-conference games. You have to play two top level games and one middle of the road game in order for me to say that, okay, you deserve being, you know, I think they should cap out at about 4 or 5 in the BCS and a one loss team from the SEC or a one loss team from the Pac-10 should, you know, go above them.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying earlier. I kind of agree with that, with what you're saying, because, I mean, while we play Arkansas, they playing San Jose State. So it doesn't match up at all. So I just don't think it's fair, and that's the BCS, but it keeps us going throughout the college football season. So, hey, you know, if that's how they do it, that's how they do it. But on to the next. I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about the Brett Favre situation with all the heat he's going under and the things that are going on and just the way he even came back. And teammates had to beg him back, and, you know, he's at home during training camp. And now these allegations are coming out with him having sent pictures or supposed to be some type of sexual harassment or some of under that nature, under those lines. I kind of want y'all to talk about that. You know, chime in and kind of give me your thoughts on this whole situation with Brett Favre starting. And I don't want to just, you know, go off and be ripping Brett Favre on his quote-unquote supposed, I don't know if you call it affair or sending pictures or, you know, trying to holler and do something on the side or whatnot. But just from the start of the season, of even last year when he just started this whole chaos of the private plane going to, you know, pick him up to, or not playing private jet, picking him up to not knowing if he wants to play or whatnot. I just want y'all to talk about what you think about just Brett Favre in general and how he and what he does to the Minnesota Vikings, and is it fair to somebody like Javaris Jackson? And then if he were somebody like Donovan McNabb or back in the day a Dante Culpepper, would it be blown up to would it be blown out of proportion? Do you kind of give me your assessment on that?
Well, I think honestly, I would start off with the accusation part of Brett Favre. And that part, you know, that could go either way. I mean, if he did it, then okay, whatever. You know, like it's not a big deal. But as far as the training camp and sitting out of training camp, I think Brett Favre is in that stage right now that he knows these holes, and you know, you want to keep your name out there. You want people to remember you still and talk about you still. And I think this is the best way for him. Not saying he's doing it intentionally. But this is the best way for him to be talked about. And you can see when Brett Favre was giving the press conference, like, he talks like he is a movie star, though. You know, the way he goes about it, like, he talks like he's a movie star. I mean, he has that humble approach, but at the same time, you know, he goes into the game and he says, you know, well, I don't know how my arm's going to feel all right, you know. But the whole time, you know, Brett Favre is going to play. Like, you know that. And Is it far to Tavares Jackson? I personally don't think it is because, I mean, he served his time there. He's been there. And I feel like, you know, the NFL is a business. You know what I mean? And you guys know that. And it's just part of it's like playing your role. You know, everybody that's in the NFL want to play, but it's not going to happen that way. You know, as Brett Favre, they see big things coming out of him. And the good year they had last year, of course, you would want to come back, you know, and try it again. But since the season hasn't been going how they wanted to go, you know, it's all this other stuff is coming about now, you know, that's giving it problems, you know. So I think if it was Donovan McNabb, oh, yeah, they'd probably be slaughtering him right now. Like, it'll be a difference. And I hate to say it is a race thing, but it's true. Everything in sports is different depending on your race. You know, it's just the way it is, and it shouldn't be that way. But if it was Donovan McNabb, you know, and he sent pitches. Oh man, they'd probably suspended him. You know, probably everything right now. You know, and that's just how I feel about it. I mean, I think it's a publicity stunt. You know, the Vikings aren't doing that good right now, and I think they're just trying to, you know, just keep being talked about right now. So that's just how I feel about it, anyway.
Ron Mack, we got a minute to break. You know, I know you wanna. Chime in on this and give your opinion. Let me hear it.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, what's happening in Minnesota, I'm glad, you know, that they're losing. You know, I know Tavares and, you know, been knowing him since he was a high schooler, and I don't feel like he's gotten a fair shake, but at the same time, I understand Brett Favre. I wouldn't turn down $16 million to come back and, you know, do what I've been doing my whole life. You know,
yeah.
So two sides to that coin. The you know, the text messages and stuff, you know, that's his personal business, you know, but if it was, like you said, Donovan McNabb or Michael Vick, you know, man, the pictures would be out, you know, with no one has seen the texts. No one has seen the pictures. No one has, you know, we've been hearing the speculation. But, you know, if it was, you know, one of the African-American quarterbacks who, you know, people didn't look at like they look at Brett Favre and revel at the person, then all that stuff would have, it'll be all on YouTube and Facebook. Huh. You'll see,
yeah.
You'll be able to see the pictures. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're heading to break. We're going to go and get back at this in a minute.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, man, we're back. We're back. We're talking a little bit about Brett Favre and talking a little bit about Auburn, this BCS and everything else. Now we're going to slide to the NBA with the season coming up here around the corner pretty soon. And we always can talk about LeBron and the whole effect of LeBron leaving Cleveland and heading down to Miami. But I was talking to somebody this weekend, and I was like, why isn't it such a big deal when the Boston Celtics did pretty much the same thing? It wasn't all this backlash. Everybody didn't go crazy when Kevin Garnett went to Minnesota or when Ray Allen left and came to Boston. Q, I kind of want you to tell me why you think it wasn't the same type of response, same type of hatred towards somebody like KG. I mean, obviously KG isn't LeBron James, and he was one of the top players in the NBA when he was in Minnesota and he left to come to Boston. LeBron is the top two or three players in the NBA when he left Cleveland. Why wasn't it such chaos when KG or Ray Allen left their destinations to come to Boston?
I think the LeBron thing was Cleveland as Ohio as a state. Not much really going on there, and I think LeBron was the hope for the whole state, you know, and they felt like they finally had something that they could, you know, own to, and somebody that could bring so much to their state, and I think, you know, they grasped onto him, and they accepted him and everything, and when he left, I kind of think they felt like they were betrayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, I said LeBron was there for what, 7 years already?
Yeah.
For 7 years, and all he asked was to just give me some help. You know, help. Just give me some help. And if you haven't got the man help in 7 years, then of course, you know, he's trying to win a championship. That's what everybody's expecting from LeBron. He's trying to win a championship. So, you know, and then, okay, you say Ray Allen left who he was playing for, and, you know, KG left Minnesota. So when KG left Minnesota, you know, KG gave his all to Minnesota, just like LeBron did Cleveland.
Exactly.
I don't really know why they didn't respond the way they responded to LeBron.
Exactly. I really don't know why, because KG was probably he was valuable to Minnesota, you know.
Yeah.
And Ray Allen just as well as his team. So when those three got together, you know, at Boston, it was kind of like, okay, the big three, and everybody was like, wow, you know, they're a powerhouse and all of this. But when LeBron left, I mean, they were burning his jersey.
Yeah.
You know, even the president of the team, the owner of the team said something about him.
Uh-huh.
It was ridiculous. I was like, you know, as a man, you have the right to set your future up the way you want it to be. He has that right to. He gave you everything he had for 7 years straight.
And everybody, and first of all, the man has lived his whole life.
Yeah.
So, Hugh or Ron, imagine living in, I mean, you've moved all over. Ron, I know you've moved. You haven't lived in the Gulf your whole life. He lived in that area his whole life. I mean, because obviously you didn't go to college, went to high school in that area. You grew up in that area, played in that area, played NBA. And you kind of want to, I mean, to be a man, it's kind of good to get away from what you're from and not to say he's getting millions of dollars, has a chance to win a ring, and he's going to the probably one of the best cities in America, in Miami. So everybody's not, nobody's really looking at that from that aspect of it. And like you said, needing help. When I watched him play Boston last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, or in their series when they're playing Boston, I'm looking at this like LeBron is almost out there by himself. Yeah, you had Mo Williams. Yeah, you had an older Shaq. Antoine Jameson came off a trade when he was trying to get accustomed to playing with them. But
that's help, man. That is help. I mean, the reason there wasn't backlash when KG left Minnesota, KG complained for five. KG was probably in Minnesota the 8 and 10 years. Okay, KG re-signed with Minnesota. So after that, you know, Stephon Marbury, you know, they were surrounding KG with straight garbage, man, for like five whole years. When Cleveland tried Shaq, traded for Antoine Jameson, traded for Mo Williams, the franchise actually improved the team. Now, do I think it was the kind of improvement that, you know, was wanted for him to stay? Nah, it wasn't. But they were trying. And LeBron give his career a chance to you know, create his own championship. He said, okay, it's like, you know, cooking. Okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to cook. Okay, cooking going to take 3 to 4 hours. In LeBron's case, it would have been 3 to 4 years. Or I'm gonna go down here to my aunt and jump in this microwave, and I didn't warmed up something in 30 seconds. So he's not getting the respect. And even after he wins this championship, he's not gonna win it this year because the Lakers gonna win it. But after he wins a championship, his legacy is never gonna be the same, because he's gonna always be looked at as, okay, yeah, he LeBron, yeah, he won 4 championships, but he had to go with Wade and Bosh in order to do it. He couldn't pull a Michael Jordan and wheel his team, you know, that he couldn't pull a Kobe Bryant, where Kobe, you know, was complaining with the Lakers, y'all gotta do something, y'all gotta give me some help. Boom, they made a trade, got Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum started to blossom. Boom, and he made that championship with his team.
Okay, let me ask you this. Pau Gasol, if you had to say, Who are the top one, two, three power forwards in the NBA, if you had to say?
Amari Stoudemire, Dirk Nowitzki, and
Paul Gasol,
probably.
Okay, when Michael Jordan was playing, who was the best small forwards wingman, probably small forward wingman?
I'm not gonna say it was Scottie Pippen, because Scottie Pippen left Michael Jordan and he looked like an ordinary dude. When he went to Portland, he looked like just an average ball player.
He was about as old as our daddies then, though, when he was out there trying to run around. I'm saying that. Well, my point, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but like you said, Kobe won with Shaq.
and then he won with Gasol. Like, Gasol is a premier player in the league, if people want to believe it or not. He is maybe not Amari Stoudemire, but he could play with them. You know what I mean? So he is a premier player in the league. Shaquille O'Neal is a premier player in the league. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they're premier players in the league. Antoine Jameson, Mo Williams, all-star, but he
Ray Allen is not a premier player. Paul Pierce is not, Ray Allen is a role player. Paul Pierce, he's a little better than a role player.
What about when they were their first year together, when they like – four years ago when the big three formed, they were probably all the top five at their positions in the NBA. Now, KG,
ain't no way. Ray Allen ain't never been a top five shooting guard. Paul Pierce has barely been a top five small forward. He had a small window, but he was a top five small forward.
I don't even see Paul Pierce as a superstar.
He's not. Ray Allen is not a superstar.
Really? Nobody wants to see Paul Pierce at an All-Star game. Nobody wants Paul Pierce. Like I just don't see people outside of Boston having a Paul Pierce jersey.
Oh my lord!
Ray Allen is probably one of the best shooters ever.
We're
keeping it real. We out of here. We'll be back next week, every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We out here keeping it real.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network.